Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Welcome to an introductory lesson on natural time, where I'm going to cover the most basic elements so that if you want to listen to the podcast at air twice a week, you have this background to support you understanding concepts that I otherwise might just seem to be throwing you into headlong. So natural time, as I describe in the opening to the program, is a way of comparatively restoring the calendar that we follow to something that is more ancient, more indigenous, more pure, and more oriented to nature. And I guess that what pure means in this situation is not meant to be judgmental as much as just logical. If it's a calendar that tracks star movements or tracks cycles that we experience here on the earth itself, then we would call that something that comes from nature, the nature of the cosmos, the nature of the planet. And as much as possible, we are trying to give ourselves an alternative to the pretty artificial, even fraudulent calendar that is called the Gregorian calendar. It's very much like choosing to eat organic instead of having something full of growth hormones, but I don't moralize about the Gregorian calendar. I just want to occasionally present facts about it. One thing that you can notice about the Gregorian calendar immediately is that the month lengths are really different in length, and we're completely accustomed to that, so it might not occur to us that the year could be divided into something much more balanced, that every month could be the same, and that is exactly what happens in natural time. The 13 moon calendar that I will refer to is a division of our 365-day year into 13 months. They're called moons, and month comes from a reference to our moon. It's the same in terms of etymology. We have 13 months that are 28 days each. And it may startle you, as it did me once upon a time, to recognize that if you take all the extra days, if you gather 2 days from the end of June and 3 days from the end of July and reduce all these month lengths to 28 days, you can get a whole 13th month out of it. I think that in itself is very exciting. So the 13 moon year is 13 28-day months in a year, and the math on that is 13 times 28 is 364. And clearly that's just one day shy of our 365-day year, and that day rests as a day between years. It's kind of like an extended stroke of midnight. It lasts for 24 hours. A 13-moon year is not specific to the Maya. It's a kind of collective awareness that in pre-industrialized times, pre-colonial times, that many indigenous cultures would use cycles that they could reference in their bodies and cycles they could see in the sky as calendars. So you might presume from this, since it's called a moon, that it is the cycle of a new moon coming all the way to full moon and back again. But that's not exactly it, because that's a 29 and a half day cycle. Rather, It's strongly oriented to the moon that lives in a female body through menstruation. And please know that menstruation also comes from the etymology of moon. And so it was probably easier to tell, you know, when 20 days had elapsed based on a woman's body and signs of menstruation than even the nuances of a full moon and new moon in the sky. So calendars in many ancient civilizations were tracked from the basis, from the starting point of a female body. And that's super powerful in terms of a message when we go into natural time. The 13 moon year that we follow, though, in natural time is Mayan insofar as its start date. I mean, the Maya were very calendar oriented. They had dozens of calendars. We know about 19 of them, but many were destroyed through colonial invasion and not transmitted so that we don't really have access to them. But they were calendar obsessed, or we could say obsessed with cycles, obsessed with tracking things that way. And their year calendar did begin differently than the one we celebrate in Gregorian time. So we start the new Mayan year, the 365-day year, which we're calling a 13-moon year, every July 26th on the Gregorian calendar. And that was in relation to Sirius, the dog star, rising at dawn alongside the sun. So that moment when the largest night star and the day star rose in tandem was auspicious. And it was the indication of a new powerful year beginning. And incidentally, the Egyptians also had that as their start date. So the 13 moon year that we follow here that I talk about in natural time always begins July 26th. It ends July 24th. And then we have that day between years that's called the day out of time. And the 13 moon year, the moon names are reflected in the Mayan sacred count of 13. And we have anglicized version of those Mayan origin names because a man named Jose Arguelles, in the 80s, he began this odyssey of self-discovery as a Mexican-American and cultural discovery as someone who rooted through, you know, Mayan legend and lore. He was a professor of comparative religions, so it was a huge explorative field for him, and it became his personal passion. And he, a combination of, you know, channeled and used his intellect and what was around him in his personal spiritual practices to come up with anglicized, we could say, westernized, modernized names for the 13 moons of the year. And we will see this count of 13 exists somewhere else in natural time, and I'll get to that shortly, but you'll hear it for the first time now. I'm going to just say the 13 names that count us through the 13 moons. They're called 13 tones. They're basically adjectives. They're like cosmic adjectives. So we start with magnetic, and then lunar, electric, self-existing, overtone, rhythmic, resonant, galactic, solar, planetary, spectral, crystal, and then cosmic. And that was a count of 1 to 13. And each name, you know, takes us higher to a peak, but this is a count of 13 that represents a wave shape. So that's a bit of a jump. In natural time, things aren't linear. It's not just ideas. It's drawn out in sacred geometry forms. I choose to look at the fractal that the 13 represents. I can't necessarily even say what a fractal is, but a lot of you have seen one. I choose to just use a picture of an ocean wave because I grew up along the ocean and I'm very childlike, and I think a lot of us are, and it helps when you're just starting conceptually with something so new to keep it really simple. And so you can imagine that this count of 13 with the names I just recited moves in a long, slow build. We sort of start at sea level and then everything rises, but it rises pretty gently I mean, if we pretend it's the ocean, know that there are huge currents underneath that are pushing this rise that we see at the surface. But the wave starts slowly, it's hard to get started, and then it picks up speed and the pressure starts to have it rise further. Gravity wants to keep it here, but it's got this strength pushing from below. It has momentum. And it rises for a count of 10. We could say 10 moons in the year, for example. And when it gets to the 10th moon, it's at the top of its peak, the crest of the wave, the highest point that it can rise before gravity actually wins. And then the wave turns over on itself. And that's where you really can imagine the ocean. And it turns over on itself in the 11th of 13th, the 11th tone. So it climbs for 10 and it falls apart in 1. So that's a very fast and chaotic moment that we would build for 10 moons in a year. And then in one moon, one 28-day period, it would all spill over. It's kind of like falling, or you could say flying. And then there's a day where a moon that it would just settle. That would be the 12th of 13. You can kind of just feel how the waves break, but then there's froth on the surface, but things are beginning to settle back down to sea level. And then on the 13th moon, the count of 13, called the cosmic tone, everything is almost glassy and still as if there's no movement, but it's anticipating the next count of 13 that will rise as another wave. So a quick summary. In natural time, we celebrate a year of 365 days that is broken down into 13 months called moons. Each moon has 28 days. And the natural time year begins on July 26th. And it ends on July 24th. And there's a day between years that they call the day out of time. And the natural time year, in its count of 13 tones, is shown as a wave form, and I like to call it an ocean wave or visualize it that way. And so you can imagine that for 10 tones it builds to a peak, and then in one tone it falls apart, and then we have two tones for things to come back to peace, and then we begin again. So take that, which you now know about the 13 moon calendar, over to this much more dynamic, I would say more spiritually based. It's a spiritual count, as in kind of a prayerful, sacred, meditative walk, which is the Mayan calendar called the Dzogchen. And this is a 260-day count. So this is where the brain scrambles if you've never encountered anything different than the Gregorian calendar, which is exactly where I began 20 years ago. You're like, 260 days, what is that? Is that like the cycle of some other planet around the sun that we're sort of imitating when we track with this? It might be. But actually, it's the cycle of gestation in the womb for a human being. It's just shy of 9 months, so it's not in exactitude, but that's what it represents. And also synchronically, instead of coincidentally, meaning magic was infused behind this, the seed kernel of a corn, you know, corn being the most important agricultural component of Mayan civilization, their food staple. For a kernel of corn as a seed to be planted and germinate and then come to full harvest in that part of the world nearer the equator at that time, this would be 1,000 years ago, it took 260 days to come to full harvest or fruition from that first planting of the seed. And that's a beautiful parallel. It's a powerful parallel that the creation of life for a human, the creation of this most important food source, would have the same kind of birth cycle. So the Dzogchen is 260 different days, different day signs that I'm going to be talking about all the time in Mayan astrology. I'm not going to give a big big demo on that right now, but I will tell you that we begin in the Dzogchen by counting through 20 different place names from Mayan culture. They are called tribes when we refer to them now, and I'm going to say what they are the same way I recited the 13 tones. And they're colored to orient to the medicine wheel of the Maya. The Mayan medicine wheel is a little different than the Native American medicine wheel. It starts in the east, and the east is colored red. Then it moves to the north, which is colored white, and then to the west, which is colored blue, and the south, which is colored yellow. So you'll hear that each of these tribe names is associated with one of the directions. And you're going to hear, as I say them, that we always go red, white, blue, yellow, red, white, blue, yellow. So we start with red dragon, white wind, blue night, yellow seed, red serpent, white world bridger, blue hand, yellow star, red moon, white dog, blue monkey, yellow human, red skywalker, white wizard, blue eagle, yellow warrior, red earth, white mirror, blue storm, yellow sun. This is a count of 20, and it is referencing our fingers and toes. You count 20 fingers and toes, and the count replays itself over and over. It's a count of 260 days, so we have 13 sets of these 20 day names I just said, these 20 tribes. And they each mean something, right? They have definitions, they have references, they're archetypes and totems. They're hieroglyphic pictures that we're drawing the names from. The names are anglicized again, but not entirely invented. They're deep references to true Mayan cultural pieces of grand importance in their everyday living and their reverence to divinity as they experienced it. So we move through these 20 day signs, these 20 tribes, but to get 260 possibilities of different days, we're taking the 20 tribes that I just mentioned and mixing them in with the 13 tones that I already told you about from the 13 moon calendar. So the Dzogchen and the 13 moon calendar are connected, have in common the count of 13 and the wave form, the wave shape that count is presented in. And that's called a wave spell. Whenever you hear me talking about wave spells, it's the count of 13, but a wave spell can be 13 days long, it can be 13 moons long, it can be 13 years long, it can be something called 13 baktuns long, which is millennia. We won't be considering that, but we are going to be talking about 13-day wave spells a lot. So in the Dzogchen, each of the 20 tribes I mentioned has a 13-day wave spell, a 13-day period that's all about that particular tribe. And so when we follow the Dzogchen, we really have many layers of consideration each day. And I can talk about what day it's called. I'll talk about my birthday, using that as an example. My birthday is called Blue Overtone Storm. It's the Blue Storm tribe mixed with the tone called Overtone. It's color, then tone, then tribe. But the tribe is always attached to the color. There's no white storm, there's only a blue storm. So I'm a blue storm person. I can hang out with all the blue storm people. That's why we call it a tribe. But some of us might be overtone. Some of us might have a different tone in the middle there. So when you find out when you were born using my website, resonanttruth.com, where there's a decoder, it's very hard to figure out your birthday without a decoder, but you can just pop in your Gregorian birth date, including the year, and it'll spit out a name, day name for you, which will be something with a color and a tone and tribe. And when you discover that, you will suddenly realize that you have a place in the cycle of 13, the wave spell, and that you have a tribe affiliation, and that the archetypal references that each, the tone and the tribe hold, become your personal astrology. And it's just like regular astrology that somehow, magically, mystically, it probably reminds you of yourself if you dig into it. Now we'll summarize the Dzogchen, what we know about that. The Dzogchen is 260 days long. It's a sacred calendar for the Maya. It's a deep spiritual walk that they held and cherished, and that makes them singular, different than people that just use calendars to monitor a year's passing. The 260 days is oriented to gestation in the womb, and also for the Maya, that was the germination to harvest of their most important food crop, corn. And within the 260 days, as we celebrate them now, we move through 20 day signs that have a color oriented to the direction on the medicine wheel. And then a kind of primary element, they represent a primary element of the experience of being alive in Mayan times. You heard me say things like dragon and wind and night and seed. And so you can feel that it's very essential, almost like when a child looks at the world and just picks out the most elemental parts and pieces. The 20 tribes intersect with the 13 tones that we learned about in the 13 moon calendar to make 260 possible days. And the names are always the color from the direction of the medicine wheel, and then the tone, and then the tribe. When you listen to Natural Time, the podcast, you'll hear me talk about the two different calendars, the 13 moon calendar and the Dzogchen, and where we are in each, and which one is sort of surging with meaning. They take turns, or sometimes they coincide, and that's really impressive and exciting, and there's a lot to talk about. I try to give a lesson, a basic lesson, every time I'm on air as well, so you continue to have access ways to deepen your understanding of the cycles. And then I get really preoccupied with the question, what the hell is going on? Or why is it hard to be alive? Because I think that it is. I personally think it is hard to be alive. And I think there are some answers held within sacred time cycles as the Maya pioneered them. And so I can, to the best of my ability and experience, talk about, you know, if this feels really difficult right now, there are some legitimately challenging things happening. And here's what they are. I'm a deep believer in growing pain. And that doesn't mean I'm all for pain. It just means that I'd like to understand most pain as being about the discomfort of growing bigger, moving forward and evolving. But I try to make that understandable for myself so that life gets easier, and I'm happy if I can share any of that with you. Maya have their own version of a namaste, and it is the phrase in Lakesh. It's translated to mean, I am another yourself. Sometimes it's, you are my other me. So in parting, I'll say that I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.